I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I guess the moral of today's episode is, if you start something, finish it, or don't if you want. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Don't threaten to kill Nintendo if you're trying to get Nintendo to put out your video game is the second lesson I'd suggest.
Both of those would look beautiful embroidered on a pillow, I think.
And welcome to Pocket Buds, a back pocket podcast where I talk to my best buds about video games and stuff. My name is Ruby Innes and we're talking about Bob's Game. If you're not in the loop of niche mid-noughties indie video game industry dramas, you might be wondering, what the fuck is Bob's Game? Well, Bob's Game is an RPG that's been in development since around 2003 by solo developer Robert Poloni. Nowadays, it's pretty common to see an impressive title being made by just one guy. It was pretty common back then, too, but not on the Nintendo DS or Game Boy, which is where Poloni was ultimately trying to get his game on. It all started in August 2008, when Poloni decided to post a preview of his game on YouTube. The preview amassed around 100,000 views within a month of its release, which was a pretty good amount of views back in the day, especially for an otherwise unknown indie game. The game was seemingly unheard of before that, and according to an interview in the Orlando Sentinel in 2008, Poloni had been working on the title for the past 5 years, with over 15,000 hours of work being put into it. In this same interview, he expressed distaste with how the video game industry did business, so how the rest of this story goes kind of makes a lot of sense. In the same year as the release of the preview, The Escapist reported that Poloni had gotten in touch with Nintendo to get an application for a license to acquire a Nintendo DS software development kit. But Nintendo seemingly strung him along for 17 weeks without a response. The general wait time for a response was apparently 6 to 8 weeks. So began the 100-day protest, where Poloni would lock himself in his room with an ongoing live stream recording his actions, making the game, and doing other stuff until Nintendo gave him a software development kit. The protest was a wild ride, which included Poloni releasing the addresses of Nintendo executives, threatening to release the game as a killer app for the DS, threatened to release the game on other platforms, and threatened to exact a horrific vengeance if the company continued to deny him the software development kit. He apologized for this comment and complained of paranoia and persistent headaches. The shut-in protest ended on the 30th day, on January 10th, 2009, and Poloni's hatred for Nintendo seemingly grew larger. The protest was revived in a new form, with Poloni taking to the streets to make his game known with posters, business cards, and fake DS cases for Bob's Game that he filled the Nintendo World Store in New York City with. He also reworked the game itself to include Nintendo in some form and included himself as the main antagonist, with the events of the protest and his own life feeding into what the aim of the game would become. 25 weeks after Polony sent his request for a software development kit, Nintendo responded. They said no, and he revealed it was all a marketing scheme. From there, the ongoing years saw ups and downs for Bob's Game. I've been intrigued about Robert Polony and Bob's Game for a few years now, but I've said too much on my own. So why don't I introduce my buds to talk about it some more and anything in between? Joining me on the show to talk about Bob's Game are my two video game boyfriends, Joel and Jackson from Thumb Cramps. Hello, boys.
Hello.
Hello, Ruby.
How are you?
And hello, listeners.
Yeah.
I'm good. How about you?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I'm good. I'm great. I did just find a wart on my thumb, which is not so awesome. But everything else is going good in my life.
Would you suggest that's from too much gaming, Jackson?
Yeah, it's a gaming wart.
It's a gaming wart. Yeah, fair enough. Well, We've all been frozen off.
Yeah, that's true. I could do that. I could do that. Or it might go on its own.
And alternatively, we're going to have to change the name of our podcast from Thumb Cramps to Thumb Warts.
Yeah, because like I'm just warning you now, it will not go away on its own. And I think you probably shouldn't touch anything until you get it sorted.
I think you're right.
On the top of my wrist. I can't see it right now because I've got hair ties on my wrist and it's kind of like... gone over it, but basically I still have a scar there from where a wart was.
Is that because you tried to wear a toad like a watch?
Yes. Yes, and every time I went to go look at the time, I'm like, what's the time? And it would go, and I'm like, that's not the time, that's the sound the toad makes.
And why is my wrist so lumpy?
Yeah, and sweat.
What's going on?
But yeah, I had to get it frozen off because I was using this stuff on it. In the hopes that that would make it go away because my mum told me it would. And then it didn't. And in fact, just kind of took a new, yuckier form. So I ended up having to just get it completely frozen off.
That's probably what I'll have to go do.
You learned two important lessons that day. Never trust your parents and never trust the doctors.
Yeah, exactly. And now I live my life full of ailments and not in contact with my mum and dad.
Yeah. Isolated from loved ones. Yeah. And dying.
Exactly. You can't die if you never go to the doctor to hear what is wrong with you, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you never know, then it'll never go bad.
Yeah. Right? Absolutely.
So, boys, what do you know about Bob's Game?
Well, we love Lost Media for some reason, because even Lost Media that's not about anything scary is spooky. You know what I mean?
Totally spooky.
In the 1980s, there was a Mario commercial that's completely lost, and you're like, oh, where did it go?
And it's those YouTubers that always make it sound really spooky, even when it's not.
Yeah,
absolutely.
On the 29th of January, 1987, there was a Mario commercial that aired exclusively in Europe.
I think this was the only
known appearance of Mario doing a triple jump prior to his appearance in Super Mario 64.
And you're like, I'm going to get nightmares, turn it off. I think there is legitimately a lost, I think it's Mario Got Milk commercial, where Mario drinks a glass of milk.
I've seen...
That's scary.
I've seen that in print.
Yeah. You've seen Mario drink a glass of milk in print?
Yeah, I've seen that in print too.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just Mario's face from Mario 64, and it just says Got Milk in the Mario font underneath.
Okay. He doesn't have like a milk mustache or anything?
No, he's got his regular Mario mustache, as far as I recall, but maybe... In 1998. but yeah, we're Lost Media freaks. I've participated in my own Lost Media quest before.
That's true, yeah.
So I've gotten pretty deep into Lost Media, yeah.
We became obsessed with, I don't know if you remember, Ruby, the Australian TV show Who Dares Wins. You know Who Dares Wins?
Yes, I do remember that.
I think we found on YouTube like an hour compilation of just Who Dares Wins. The way the show worked is that, what was his name?
Mike Whitney.
Mike Whitney. He would go around like supermarkets in the 1990s.
Shopping malls, shopping centers.
Yeah. And he would say, hey, would you do this disgusting thing or this risky thing for $50? And then he would pull the $50 out of his pocket. And sometimes if they completed the challenge or whatever it was, they'd get $50 crumpled from Mike Whitney's pocket. So there's an hour-long compilation of those segments, and we became very obsessed with it.
Mm.
And then we discovered that there's very little of Who Dares Wins online, despite there being, like, what?
There was three seasons.
Yeah.
And it went on to influence Fear Factor, which results in Joe Rogan getting a career, which results in the Joe Rogan Experience, which results in the world being a worse place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
yeah. So it's an important television show.
So we tried
kinda
to
like
track
how 9/11 is intrinsically linked to My Chemical Romance.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Absolutely.
And if Mark Wahlberg were to stop 9/11, then Mark Wahlberg would have been entirely responsible for My Chemical Romance not existing.
Whoa.
And so like Mark Wahlberg, but like hypothetical Mark Wahlberg is an enemy to me, but also real life Mark Wahlberg is an enemy to me because he did hate crimes.
Yeah. Me too.
He's so, a bad man.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a bad man.
But yeah, so we tried to track down episodes of Who Dares Wins.
And then I eventually caved and hit up Reddit and my post got enough traction that people were giving me legitimate advice. Uncovered two episodes. So I'm the holder of two exclusive episodes of Who Dares Wins. And the next step for me trying to uncover it is to create a proper LinkedIn and message the producers of the show, which feels a step too far, but I will probably
It does feel like when you do that, you're over the line. You know, you're in for life.
Do you remember what like broadcaster?
I got the producers like information, like their full names. I know who to message.
Oh,
I just haven't done it yet. Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bob's Game is such a like a
anyway, Bob's Game.
It's one of the big lost media, you know, one of the big lost medias, so it came up on our radar. This makes it sound like we're always looking for lost media.
I think it's worth saying that, we're not usually looking for lost media, but we are almost always watching a YouTube compilation of someone telling us about lost media and getting a bit frightened.
Like the
I blame it on Jorge.
Absolutely. Atrocity Guide, another great one. One of the ones I saw in a compilation, I forget by who, that I saw recently was a food fight video game.
Yeah.
That's only known from like the a booth in the background of like a 2006 E3 or something.
Yeah, it's a little bit earlier than that, but someone pretty much panned across the GameCube booth at an E3, and someone was watching that footage and was like, hang on a second, that's a food fight video game based on a movie that doesn't come out for 10 years.
Yeah,
I was about to say, isn't like, do you remember the movie Food Fight? Like the dog?
Yeah.
Was it the dog, the detective dog? Is that right?
Yeah.
Voiced by Charlie Sheen.
And there's a squirrel made of chocolate and he's really wet for some reason.
Yeah.
So do you think it was originally supposed to be a video game and then they scrapped it and decided to make it a movie instead?
Well, Ruby, you're opening a can of dangerous worms here because Food Fight was
like
actually meant to be released. The movie was meant to be released in the early 2000s. But then the director claims the movie got stolen.
Yeah, I think the claim is that somebody broke into his house and just stole the movie. Which is awesome.
The movie ended up getting reanimated with cheap assets, I'm pretty sure, and then released in like 2015 or something.
No, I remember this. And it was supposed to like, quote unquote, look better.
Yeah.
Than it did. Which is so funny that they were like, no, we swear it didn't used to look like
Yeah. Imagine.
It looked awesome.
Yeah. You know how like when you look at this, it makes you feel a bit sick?
Yeah.
Imagine if it made you feel good.
The opposite.
It was actually the opposite. It was actually really awesome to look at. Yeah. Well, Bob's Game. The thing with like, so I actually, it's funny you mentioned the Atrocity Guide because that was my first port of call for Bob's Game when that video was released about 2 years ago. And I was like, oh, this is wild. And at the time it was funny to me.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, this is some wacky guy trying to, you know, get Nintendo to publish his game. And he's so crazy. Wah, wah, wah. But my further research, my actual like, you know, after getting the job in journalism.
Congratulations.
And then proceeding to kind of do, I guess, real research.
Yeah.
It's not as funny as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And rather like quite fascinating, but also quite sad, but also still very mysterious, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I don't know. I actually not spoken to Jackson about this whatsoever, despite the fact I'm sitting next to him. But I remember in high school watching part of the live stream protest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like I'm a Bob's game day.
Far out.
I'm not going to flex too hard because it was one of my friends that was like very switched onto it and was like, yeah, this guy's making a game and I think he's going crazy. I just remember sitting at school and watching this guy sit at a desk in the dark as like a LED light above him just like flashed up like Reggie.
Wow. Where did you actually watch it? Like, where did he post?
I'm pretty sure it was just on his website.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And it was really interesting as well. Oh, cause, I mean, like, realistically, I think it was the, it was probably the 100-day protest, well, 30-day protest, the 30-day lock-in that probably sent him off the deep end. Like, isolation isn't good for anybody.
And absolutely.
He didn't have any internet access. He didn't have any access to I think, like, the only thing was access to maybe, like, messages with his girlfriend or something.
Mm.
Or someone on the outside to kind of, like, get messages out there. And it was a very weird thing of, like, isolation for an extended period of time is not good for anybody.
Oh, yeah. It wrecks your brain.
You saw how many people went cuckoo bananas during the pandemic, but, like, at least they had access to the internet, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And when you're just working on your game, and based on later blog posts that I saw, we'll touch on it a bit later, but, like, according to blog posts on the now defunct website, seems like he's a man of God now.
Oh, really?
But the blog posts do suggest that he was on drugs.
Okay.
He didn't say which ones, but that's what it does suggest.
Yeah.
Probably the really cool ones. Yeah. But like, so it was like it made sense that he kind of like went a little off the deep end, but it's really fascinating as well. Cause like, something I'd like to touch on that really happened in the past hour or two was all three of us got the chance to play, the first demo of Bob's Game.
Yeah. It, for some reason in all these years, knowing fully well that a demo had been released,
it was available online.
And like, I remember reading you needed like, the demo was only released for like hacked DSi units or something like that. So I just never, for some reason,
looked into it
at all, knowing full well that Nintendo DS emulators are everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. The way we played it is Dusha played it and I had the headphones on. So cool. I heard it. I saw it.
I listened to it a bit at first and then was like, Jackson, check this out.
Yeah.
And then we never swapped back.
Yeah, because when I saw, I had a look on the Wayback Machine of all the different eras of the Bob's Game website.
Yeah.
And then I played the game. And looking at all the different eras was really fascinating because it started with him talking about how excited he was to kind of get his game out there. And then it became a kind of a bit of an ARG. And then it had the protest and the live stream, and then it had a link to the trailer, and then it had just the Bob's Game triangle with the eye in it, and it kind of went all over the place.
Yeah.
But like it was very interesting to see how it went from I'm a 25-year-old guy making my video game to here is my entire life story.
It's become intertwined in the game. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And he puts parts of that in the game.
Nintendo
become a character in the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Gantendo, which was a mix of Ganon and Nintendo, which I was like, very clever.
Nicely done.
But playing the demo, I actually like... playing it, I was like, oh, this is a game I would play. This is a game that seems really neat. It kind of gave like Kanye Quest.
Yeah, absolutely.
It feels heaps like Kanye Quest.
How far in did you get, Ruby?
I got up to the playing the Tetris clone.
Okay. Yeah, us too.
On the Game Boy. Yeah. It's hard.
Well,
that's hard.
Isn't that one of the things when people first started playing it where they were like, it's very cool, but the mini games are impossible. We have to actually like half speed the emulation or whatever to be able to complete a lot of them. Like he'd made them very difficult. Because the Tetris, it's called Tetrig, I think. Tegris, yeah. I think. But it's like Tetris, except some of the blocks are...
Well, none of them...
It's just three.
Yeah. But sometimes they're missing a block in the middle to make it incredibly difficult to like get a line. And you're very good at Tetris.
Let's not...
Better than me.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'm fine at Tetris.
Yeah.
Well, I'm better than you at Tetris.
Well, that's the thing. I looked at a playthrough on YouTube, and I think you have to get up to like... 300 points or something like that, maybe 500, in order to complete it and get through that and then get into the rest of the demo. And I didn't get past it because I might see if I can do it at half speed.
Yeah.
If I can on my emulator. Cause, look, at the end of the day, it is a game clearly now made for an emulator. So it's not like I'm doing anything wrong.
You're not cheating. Yeah.
Yeah. So like it's very interesting just how difficult it was. Cause the game itself, like there were bits and pieces in there where I like chuckled to myself. Like it was clever. And he very clearly had like a good idea of what he wanted to do. I think it was just tainted by like everything that was happening on the outside.
It does kind to give anyone who hasn't seen any footage of Bob's game or has no idea what it is prior to listening to this episode, imagine if you're playing Earthbound on the Nintendo DS, but it had a vibe that the game might kill you in real life.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
There's a sort of cruelty to the game, yeah.
Yeah, like it felt... That's the thing. It felt like kind of like you're not supposed to be playing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because like the opening, before you even get into the game, there's like a warning and it's like, hey, this game, don't stab your eye with the stylus or don't eat your Nintendo DS dust or whatever.
Yeah. And then it said licensed by Nintendo. And then it came up at the top with "this game will never be."
Yeah.
And I was like, "That's really clever. Like, that's cute. I get it." And like, I saw like early videos of this guy, and he seemed like a freaking cyber goth.
Yeah,
back
yeah,
back in the
absolutely.
Day, he seemed cool as hell. Honestly,
is it a thing with Bob's game that he had like an opportunity? He had like a meeting with a Nintendo rep. And the Nintendo rep was like, we can talk about giving you a team at Nintendo.
Yeah.
And getting you maybe like that dev kit that you want so badly. But he was like, no, I got to be kind of doing this by myself. Because it was such a big selling point for it was that he's like, I'm the sole developer.
It's his. Yeah.
It's Bob's game.
Yes. You know?
It's Bob's game.
I guess it's worth noting that by the time Bob's game emerged as Bob's game in its first taste for the internet to enjoy, when that first trailer came out, he'd claimed he'd done 15,000 hours work over 5 years on it already.
Whoa.
And had made all of the sprites in like a block editor or something because he wasn't an artist. So had to self-teach himself.
Yeah, he didn't know how to
everything.
Do it. He just had done like one C++ course or something.
He taught himself everything from scratch. It's kind of impressive looking at the demo.
Absolutely.
I find it so awesome. Again, another little tidbit of information here is the original version of the game was called Zeldrug and was Zelda with...
Drugs and guns.
Yeah, he was like, it's Zelda mixed with Grand Theft Auto.
Zelda mixed with Grand Theft Auto was every guy in the mid-2000s perfect video game.
What if Link had a gun?
That's your best friend in high school who's like, I've got the ultimate game. It was Zelda with guns.
Hey, what if Zelda had guns? I've actually got a brand new game from my uncle that works at Nintendo. It's called Zeldrug.
Yeah.
Link has a gun now. Also, I saw a boob on the weekend, I promise.
Yeah. And it's this interesting thing as well.
The best life's ever going to get. Yeah.
it's this interesting thing as well of like as he was kind of getting an idea of what he wanted to make, in this game, he was also like pretty dejected from the industry itself, being like, the video game industry now is like they just take like licensed assets from like movies and stuff and they just put that in a game.
Yeah.
And so it makes a lot of sense as why he was pretty insistent on doing everything himself from scratch.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I think he absolutely had this idea that like if he gave it to Nintendo or he gave it to a publisher, they'd want to put their own ideas into it. Because he was like, and look, we're purely going by his word. But that being said, in blog posts, like he was talking about how he was regularly being approached by publishers. Like it wasn't as if like everybody was just ignoring him and like covering their eyes and hoping that he goes away. Like publishers were approaching him. He just desperately wanted to keep creative control of this game and feared that having it go into anyone else's hands was going to sway that, you know? Yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for
well,
sure.
I guess it is worth noting that he's clearly a Nine Inch Nails fan, and something that happened in the Nine Inch Nails timeline ties directly into, I think, what happened with Bob's game.
Whoa.
So, this, like, the ARG element, he said, was inspired by Year Zero, which is a Nine Inch Nails album. They had a whole ARG campaign. But just prior to that, Nine Inch Nails had released an album called With Teeth.
Yeah.
And that comes out in, I think, 2005?
Okay.
Yeah.
Nine Inch Nails are touring Australia on that album. The lead singer, well, the guy behind Nine Inch Nails, Trent Reznor, walks into a CD store somewhere in Australia, can't remember what state. With Teeth is on sale for $40, and he's like, what the fuck? Calls up the record label and like is like, we're ripping people off.
Yeah.
Like, we're done. Cuts ties, goes independent.
Whoa.
So I wonder if that attitude
probably, absolutely would have influenced Bob.
Yeah, because if he's paying attention to like assuming that Nine Inch Nails are a band he quite likes. One, he looks like a Nine Inch Nails fan.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's
he
a safe bet.
Like a Nine Inch Nails fan.
Two, he was directly inspired by Year Zero. Like, it's safe to assume that he'd heard that story. And yeah, like, being like, no, we don't need a label. We're not doing anything like that. We're playing by our own rules. Yeah. We treat our fans how we want to treat them.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
That's the attitude it's, you see in Bob's game.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because, I honestly think that if, like, it would have been such a cool and out there game for the DS. Like, just something that you would never see on the DS. And if he started working on it in the past 5 years, like now.
It would be on Switch already.
Oh, absolutely.
It would not only that, but, like, he'd probably, through Itch.io, like, be able to get it on a hacked DS. And it would probably be quite successful. And even then, if he had made it purely for PC.
Yeah.
Like one of his inspirations cave story was, then a few years later, he probably would have been able to get it on other consoles, because Cave Story, which is apparently, according to sources online, an inspiration for Bob's game, or at least the story of Cave Story, where it was this solo developer release on PC. It started there, and it got released, I think, 2003, 2004, and it wasn't until 2011 that it got released on the Wii and the DS.
Yeah.
And so, like, that was years later. So I feel like, I hate to be like, if he just did this, because anything happens, you know?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like, I think that there is an alternate reality where Bob's game got released in full on PC, and years later got releases onto other platforms.
What was there a thing? I don't know.
I think there's three big hurdles that he tripped over. So, like you said, Ruby probably should have just been open to the idea of it being on PC.
Mm-hmm. Didn't he try later for Steam, but Steam was like...
Steam rejected him later.
Steam was like, this doesn't meet our criteria or whatever. It's not a high enough quality game.
But that's unfortunately because that follows the next...
It got through Steam Greenlight.
Oh, yeah, okay. But just never didn't make it to the next step, I suppose.
The problem was that it wasn't Bob's game, the RPG.
Oh,
it was Bob's game, puzzle game.
Yeah, it was okay.
So go on, Dusha.
The other two hurdles, I think, is when he did his lock-in protest, and then on day 30 pretended to kill himself live on stream. I think that probably raised a couple of red flags for people.
Yeah.
Two, implying he was going to kill Reggie at a game convention.
That's probably going to make Nintendo... It would be a crazy move for Nintendo to be like, yeah, we like his gumption,
If someone threatened to kill Thumb Cramps if we didn't let them on Thumb Cramps...
yeah. Probably I think that would be awesome.
we'd probably let them on just to ask them why.
I'd be like,
why would you do that?
Why were you going to kill us? And also that day coming into the studio to record, I'd be like, this might be my last day on Earth. Just to record a podcast. And that would be exciting.
Yeah, brother, every day could be your last day on Earth. Start thinking that every morning you wake up.
Think that every day I go to bed, which, you know, makes for a very confusing sleep. But I feel like Nintendo, you know, quote unquote back then, isn't how it is now, where like they are a little more open to indie games.
Yeah.
Sometimes a little too open to any game being on their platform. From a consumer's perspective, it doesn't feel like there is heaps of quality control on the Switch eShop.
You could make a game that was called Horny Calculator. That was a calculator and a pair of tits or whatever, and put it on the Nintendo eShop.
What about a calculator, but the only buttons are a 6 and a 9?
Whoa, yeah. That might make some money. I don't know.
Sell it for like $2.99.
Yeah. There's some cash there.
What if it was an alarm clock, but it had a set of honkers?
Yeah, a couple of knobs on it.
They're just there.
I'd
99 cents.
I'd be happy to wake up every day. I'd be like, well, even if this is my last day on Earth, at least I've seen something awesome.
Yeah.
For a low, low price of 99 cents.
Yeah, that's pretty
awesome. 99 cents. But the reality is, like, I genuinely think Bob's game could appear on the Nintendo Switch in this day and age, you know?
The only thing with Bob's game that is, I guess, something to consider is, did the game actually exist to the extent that Bob was claiming it exists?
Yeah, that is always really tricky. Because it was a lot of demos, but, you know, kind of...
Yeah.
So the demo that all three of us played today, while I choose to believe that it isn't the case, I would not be shocked if that was all of the game at that point in time, and the claims
that
it was and the claims that it was done were exaggerated, but that 100 day protest, because he ends the lock-in at day 30 by faking his own suicide and police burst in, then people realize that day 100 actually coincides with like a game developers convention that Nintendo are going to be at.
Also say he had a surprise, or that
I think Dave
there was going to be something for them, you know? So it's just like the kind of thing that it will just inevitably tarnish your chances of ever getting... But then it sort of feels like at that point, he kind of knew that there was really no winning here, and it was just sort of drumming up...
Yeah.
That's what I suppose that's the viral marketing part.
It would have been... Yeah. Like, if this was viral marketing, like he said it was, which I, again, feels like damage control.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But if it was viral marketing, do all of that and on day 101, drop it on Steam
absolutely.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's cool because it's not cool. It's fascinating.
It's cool. It's cool, Ruby.
It's cool.
Whatever you're about to say is actually the coolest.
It's cool as hell.
Yeah,
I stand by it.
Well, it's fascinating because, like, he had friends in the industry. Like, I'm pretty sure he was friends with Tim Rogers, the guy that made Ziggurat. And also disgraced indie developer Phil Fish, who made Fez. But I'm pretty sure they were friends. Like
well,
he
they had
knew
a falling
people
out,
in the
Ruby.
Industry.
Sorry, they had a falling out. Phil Fish and Bob had a falling out because...
Oh.
And this is awesome.
Yeah.
During
this
the development...
Cool. Yeah.
I do stand by this. During the development of Fez, Bob just started messaging Phil Fish saying his game looked disgusting.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
See? Rocks.
I didn't know
that
what you were
going
to say,
funny.
But I did stand by it, and it is cool.
It is cool. That's so cool
to just message your friend and say your game looks disgusting.
Phil, your phone's going off. Are you going to check it? No, I know what it's going to say.
Let's just keep working on Fez.
I'm sick of him.
never played Fez. I think I saw it, and I'm like, that looks cute. But, like, Bob's game looks cool. Like, the world of Bob's, there are parts of it that look kind of ugly, but it feels like the point.
It feels intentional.
it's just so funny to, like, go to your friend.
You're both working on games at the same time. You should be building each other up. No. Hey, man.
Your game looks disgusting.
Bob here, just checking in. Reminder, your game looks disgusting.
That's more like...
more like
yuck, dude. Have a good one.
Yucky.
Yucky game.
Wild. But like,
funny.
It's funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
It's funny, you got to say.
Yeah.
But there was that disconnect at one point where, you know, like, it's clear that Bob... Robert, he wanted to get his game out there eventually.
Yeah.
Like that is my belief, at least, that he wanted to release a game.
Yeah, well, it's sort of
he had four demos in total that came out. I've been able to get a hold of two of them. I know that the third one is out there.
Yeah, okay.
The fourth one I haven't been able to kind of trace, right?
So we all played the first one. What's the second one got in it? Is it a more updated version of the first demo, or is this when the puzzles start taking over?
I don't know, because the puzzle is when he released Bob's Game Puzzle Game. That was the one that got released on Steam.
Yeah,
and that was the one that I'm pretty sure was supposed to be Tetrid, but then there were also some like Dr. Mario aspects as well. Like, it was a bit of everything.
Yeah, and doesn't that release then get renamed to, like, OK, full stop or something like that?
He changed the name to OK and then pulled it off Steam? Either pulled it off Steam or Steam pulled it. But it got pulled.
Yeah.
And
was that just a collection of the puzzles in the other Bob's Game demos? Is that what
I think it was. It was supposed to be like a separate but connected game, right?
Yeah.
Because Bob's Game RPG, as far as I know, never got a full release.
Yeah,
Bob's Game puzzle game got a full release and then it got pulled. But the Bob's Game RPG never got released, and there was a Kickstarter. Bob's Game that failed, and then there was another Kickstarter that didn't fail. And it's interesting because I'm pretty sure the first Bob's Game Kickstarter was for Bob's Game, the full one, And the second one was for like this kind of whimsical version of whatever he was going for, potentially just the puzzle game, but like the Kickstarter funds, I think it was mentioned that it was going to go towards a hack van.
Inside the van,
he was going to work on his game, but he needed this van to live in.
Oh, okay.
Which was like that got funded.
Yeah, so he got the van.
I think
what happened with the second Kickstarter, the one that was successful, is there was no updates for a bit and then he refunded all of the money.
Oh, okay.
And you know what? Like, look, a lot of Kickstarter campaigns for games that didn't come out, you know, never refunded people.
They never did. Yeah.
And then some games come out and suck shit.
That's true too.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And with Bob's game, he refunded the money, which is, you know, kind of
that's good.
Shout out to Bob.
Yeah, shout out to
Team Bob.
It was interesting as well because I keep saying interesting, but it is. It's fascinating. It's such a fascinating situation because if we go to the Kickstarter, on July 1st, 2021, and mind you, this whole saga technically started in 2003.
Oh, really?
So yeah. It's the 20th anniversary of Robert Poloni starting development on Bob's game.
Whoa. What are the odds?
Well, this is actually a 20th anniversary celebration. We did this on purpose.
This is all intentional. Absolutely.
But on July 1st, 2021, there was an update. Bob's game is now complete and has been fully released. Y'all ready for some fun? And it was kind of full of people saying, where is it? What's going on? And in the comments, he was kind of like, oh, sorry, I actually made that up.
What? And he was like,
sorry, my mistake. I didn't mean
I have
that.
No game. Yeah. So wait, he was like, I have the game. Get ready. The game's coming. They were like, where's the game? He's like, there is no game. Pranked.
Yeah. He said, Bob's game is now complete and has been fully released. Y'all ready for some fun? And then he said, I guess I will just retract this statement then. I'm not sure what I was thinking. I might have been confused. I've become a crazy person, it seems, and now it appears that I delusionally believed I have created reality itself in the future somehow and laid out an elaborate spiritual battle with Satan for the freedom of my eternal soul not being locked in a holographic enslavement machine. It doesn't seem great. Wish me luck, please. And I think that was around the time that the Bob's Game website would redirect to... Robert Pelosi. Pelosi? Poloni.
Poloni?
I think
Poloni,
it's Pelosi. Yeah.
Pelosi, okay.
No, we're thinking Nancy Pelosi.
thinking Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. Always.
it would redirect to Robert Poloni, the website, which was his, it seems, personal blog, where he kind of he went on a very long tangent of posts. Being like, I am a man of God now.
That seems to happen to people.
Yeah.
It's like the, you know, the Nathfield guy? The guy who...
No one knows Nathfield except you.
The guy who Nathfield? Got Garfield Eats. He got Garfield branding for a cafe.
I do know him.
Ruby knows Nathfield.
Yeah, Garfield Eats.
Do you know why Ruby knows Nathfield?
Why?
Because on an episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast we host, you went on a huge tangent about it.
Well, it's on my mind pretty often.
No. I learnt about... Old mate Nathan, God, a fair few years ago, because a video essay popped up on YouTube for me, and I was like, who is this man who owns some of the rights to Garfield?
Yeah.
And so I decided to do a little digging, and he is a fascinating Absolutely. Person.
See, you're out of the loop.
Well, this actually
one.
Has created some kind of interest in Nathfield for me because you always claimed this happened at the start of last year. Ruby's claiming to have seen a video years ago.
I never said it happened at the start of last year.
Yeah, you did. You said during lockdown.
No, during lockdown is when he started doing Nathfield the podcast.
Mm.
Where he...
Yeah.
So, okay. So he had Garfield Eats back in the day. We had some of the rights to Garfield, which then he made a Garfield-themed restaurant.
Yeah.
On YouTube, you can watch a fake documentary he made where he plays a really annoying manager of Garfield Eats. It's very strange. It does not make him look good. I don't know why he did it. And he always wears an orange suit. Then he loses the rights to Garfield because I think this is unproven, but the rumor is that the Garfachinos, which were Garfield-themed cappuccinos, gave everyone diarrhea. So they and they would also make pizzas in the shape of Garfield's head, which didn't look it's not appetizing.
Yeah.
So he lost that. Then he got Scooby-Doo. He got the rights to Scooby-Doo a bit, and he did Scooby Eats, which were like a home delivery, I think.
Yep.
Then he lost the rights of that.
Yeah.
And that's what sent him over the deep end. Then he created his own in lockdown. This is the thing that happened in lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
He made his own Garfield Sona named Nathfield, who is a warrior for God. So.
Nathfield's most recent tweet is hashtag Toronto smells like hot dogs emoji, on fire, fire emoji. That's a catastrophe. What does that mean? What's going on?
That's cool stuff.
Oh, what does this mean? Richard Dawkins says.
And then I think there was some movie came out possibly during lockdown, I don't remember, where somebody was wearing an orange suit in it. Maybe it was a superhero movie that had an orange outfit. And let me tell you, he was angry because he's like, I'm the only guy who wears the orange suit.
He's like, I'm the Garfield man.
I'm Mr. Garfield. Yeah, he's a very interesting character. It's just as interesting as Bob's Game. Look up Nathfield.
It kind of is, actually.
It's a very, well, it's not a similar story.
Yeah.
But they're sisters, not twins.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I hope Robert Poloni's doing well. I hope
absolutely,
that he's doing better. If the path of Christ is the righteous path for him and it is keeping him well.
Mm-hmm.
Then Godspeed.
Yeah.
You know?
And God bless.
One day I would love to play a fully fleshed out Bob's Game, whatever form it may come out in. I'm pretty sure he released the assets or the code completely on GitHub. So who knows? Someone might get bored one day and decide to finish Bob's Game for him. I might be wrong, but when he released all of the source code and stuff, it kind of seemed like that's what he wanted. He's like, I don't want this to be mine anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I think for Robert, it feels like he should step away from, I mean, I assume he probably has at this point. I hope he has, because I don't think he should ever.
It seemed like it wasn't very good for him.
It consumed his life. Like, his passion for his game kind of met maybe some other issues he had going on, and he spiraled really bad until it became the most important thing kind of ever for him. And it seemed like that really wrecked his life. So hopefully he stepped away. Someone else, if we're ever going to get a finished Bob's Game, hopefully Robert's got nothing to do with it. I think that's the dream, really.
Beastie Boys did with their last album.
Yeah.
And pretend you've scrapped it and then release it under a slightly different title, which is just the same name, but then two at the end. Part 2.
Yeah. Robert's Game Part 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. I'd love to. Like, I'm probably going to try.
You're going to do it.
The second demo.
Ruby's Game.
It's going to be Ruby's Game.
That's awesome.
No, I'm keen to try the second demo. I'm keen to try and find the third and the fourth one. Like, it is a piece of kind of semi-lost niche video game media that has interested me for quite a while. I hope he's doing well.
Me too. I hope Bob's okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
I'm confident.
Yeah, and that's all the time we've got today. Boys, where can we find you?
You can find us on any podcasting platform you like. Any of them. Just search for Thumb Cramps, and that's hosted by both me and Jackson.
Yeah.
You can also find us on social media. We're on Twitter or X, depending on what it's called
depending on where we're at, what time it is.
Which is at Thumb Cramps Pod. And we also have an Instagram account, which is at Thumb Cramps Pod.
Yeah.
It feels weird to trust Zuckerberg at the moment, but he seems like he's not going to turn off any of his social medias at any time soon. So maybe just follow us on Instagram.
You need to pick one billionaire to trust in this life. Okay.
So unfortunate. And big thank you, boys, for joining me on the show today.
Of course.
No problem. Thanks
Anytime.
For having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We loved this. In fact, we won't leave.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess you can just hang around then.
Yes.
And a big thank you to you for listening. If you're liking what you're hearing, why not give us a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're using? Better yet, why not give us a nice little review? I love to see what people think. Unless it's mean, then I hate to see it. And hey, if you're really liking what you're hearing and you'd like to hear more, consider supporting Back Pocket over on Patreon, where you can get access to our lovely Discord full of all sorts of buds. And if you support us at a certain tier, you can even get access to more audio content like this. You can also find us on Twitch, where we've got our main live show every Thursday from 7 p.m. AEST, and on TikTok, where we are constantly posting very good stuff for you to cast your big, beautiful eyes on. And then there's socials, a la Twitter and Threads and whatever, which you're also welcome to get around. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in. And as they say, goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.